FYLP is sponsored by CapturedPrey.com. Visit CapturedPrey.com today for all your import and third-party Transformers needs, and save even more through the Captured Prey Loyalty Program. You can also save on shipping on domestic orders of $150 or more. See website for details. CapturedPrey.com. Great toys, great prices, great service. Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com for all your vintage toy needs. You can also find Mega Toy Fan at popular robot and toy conventions year-round. Minimize your costs and maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com.
In a cold, faraway world, a battle is raging between evil and good. From the stones.
Perceptia here. Welcome to Transformers for your listening pleasure. TFYLP for short. Join us and discuss the latest in Transformers fandom.
Now, where did I put that chorus stop?
Ratchet, will you take the chorus stop?
Transformers! Defenders of truth! Robots who
fight. Doing it live? Yes.
Yeah. We'll just argue for just like 30 seconds. We'll do it live.
Well, we are live, and welcome everyone to Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, episode number 161, recorded July 24th, 2015. I am Deron Land, your host, a.k.a. Weird Wolf. Along with me this evening is Headmaster Don.
Hey, everybody.
Boo.
Boo. Rick Alvarez.
Boo.
And Ronnie Prime, a.k.a. Jim Black.
Coming to you live, not from an airport this time.
No voice of God this week.
The heavens have been closed.
Yes, but any excuse to make airplane jokes is always welcome.
Yes.
Okay.
But we are live today, as we are every week, on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure. We're going to be covering some stuff from last weekend. The TFCon Canada show, they unveiled quite a few third-party unofficial Transformers at the show, and we're going to be talking about some of the highlights from that. Rick's got some news for us and some things to tell us about Boneyard, the main Kickstarter figure for Play With This 2. We'll be talking about that here in just a moment. And I want to tell everybody that we have a Twitter account. You can follow us at TFYLP on Twitter. Also, we're on Facebook. We have an active Facebook group going. So if you are listening to us live or watching us live, you can comment on our thread that's going on about this episode on the Facebook group. And we'll check it out every now and then. And if there's anything relevant to what we're talking about, then we'll mention it on the show. I do want to give a shout out to a listener, Jason Tate. Happy birthday. I know that you you turned a big 4-0 this fine day, and hope you enjoyed opening many, many toys today.
And don't let them get you down about your age.
Well, yeah.
Just keep plugging away.
Many of us have crossed that border, so.
I'm looking at it in the rearview mirror.
Yeah.
Bye-bye, youth. Bye-bye.
But we've got some things lined up for you in the coming weeks. I also want to tell you about next week. We're going to have Phil Searle from TF Expo that's going to be out in Wichita, Kansas, here in about 3 weeks. Great little convention. They're going to have Dan Gilvezan as the special guest, the voice of G1 Bumblebee, also the amazing Spider-Man.
Of his amazing friends.
Yes. He's going to be there. And also our sponsor, Captured Prey, will be there for the first time ever. And I plan on being there with them. So if you're going to come to the TF Expo, be sure to stop by the Captured Prey table and see me and tell me that what you think of the show. Love to see you and love to meet you. It'll be my first trip to TF Expo, and I'm really excited to go. Can't wait to see everybody there. Also, August 7th, make a note. I just spoke with him earlier today. Mr. Paul Eiding, the voice of Generation 1's Perceptor, and also Ben 10's Grandpa Max, will be joining us on TFYLP Friday, August 7th. So check out that show as we air it live on Friday, August 7th here on TFYLP. So without further ado, let's get into the meat of what we're talking about tonight. We're going to be talking about third-party and unofficial figures and also a lot of reveals that were going on at TFCon Canada last weekend. A lot of great stuff. I mean, I know there's a lot of things on there. I'm like, I want that, but I can't afford that. I want that. I might be able to afford that, you know. And, you know, we know that a lot of these third-party figures are quite pricey, and we understand that. But, you know, it's like we've said before, you know, buy what you like. Don't buy everything unless you're loaded.
But I like everything.
I do. I do like everything.
That's so wonderful.
I mean, there are some things out there that I'm not so crazy about, but
there's some repetition out there too.
Yeah,
that's a problem.
Yeah.
What we need is a bunch more Dinobots.
No. Well, I mean, I love Dinobots just as much as anybody, but
we are getting more Dinobots officially.
You know, I was speaking with Chad Williams the other night. We were talking about Dinobots, and he's saying how he would love to have a really nice set of third-party Dinobots to go with his Classics collection. And he said, which ones are there? And I started listing off ones. And he would look them up, and he'd be like, well, those don't have the right aesthetic. Those are too big. Those are nice. Those are too pricey. And then I think we got to the Toy World ones. And he's like, now those are just right. There's something out there for everyone. And that's the thing. Yes. That's the thing with third-party things. You know, you also have to consider quality and things of that mm-hmm. nature. But for the most part, a lot of the stuff out there is really, really good. I've actually had an opportunity to get my hands on some prototypes over the last few days. And matter of fact, we'll be speaking with Rick here momentarily, and the Boneyard prototype I actually have right here next to me, as well as the Desolator. I've also got a pre-release version of the Sky Snake versus Heavy Metal from Shapeshifters Incorporated. I got that right here. I just finished a photo shoot of that this afternoon for Captured Prey, and I think some of these pictures are going to be appearing on the website for some of those, and I'll talk about those whenever we get to them. But a lot of great stuff out there. You know, so I mean, if whether or not you agree with third party is up to you, but you know, I see a niche for it. You know, I mean, there's no reason why you can't love official stuff and third party and appreciate each. I mean, for example, I love third parties. You know, I have Hercules right over here, and I also love official. I have Devastator right here. I do buy both. So, you know, it's not like you can't make the argument, well, you're taking money out of Hasbro's pocket. No, I gave them money too, you know. So we're not going to be arguing about that. We're just going to be talking about the toys, because that's what we're all about tonight.
I've always kind of viewed it as sort of like this. Like you walk into, say, a Kroger grocery store, okay, you've got the Kraft macaroni and cheese, and then you got the Kroger brand macaroni and cheese, and they both taste amazing, and they both win at being macaroni and cheese.
Surprisingly enough, I know I worked many people here or listening to the show may be familiar with a grocery store chain called Publix. They're popular down south. They were my first employer whenever I was a teenager or in my early 20s. And I
Pepperidge Farm remembers that.
Yeah. I long for a Publix sub every day. And every time I pass a sub Publix, whenever I go south, I've got to stop in and get me a sub. But I digress. The reason I brought that up is that I found out that the Publix brand bread back in the day, I don't know if it's still the case, but back in the day, Publix brand bread, which was a few cents cheaper on the shelf than your name brand breads, like, say, Butternut. You know, the two were very disparate in price, and yet you look at the loaves and you're like, these loaves look identical. And then I found out they are the Publix brand bread is actually made by Butternut. They come off the same line. They're made with the same ingredients, just put in different packaging.
There you go.
You know, so that's probably not the case with third party. Although, you know, I don't know the legality of it or anything, but I mean, there might be some of these factories that actually produce actual Transformers officially. They may be making third party stuff on the side too, because that's the way factories work. I know whenever I worked for Panasonic in a factory, our factory made electric motors. But every now and then, if we had time within our production schedule, we would actually manufacture, you know, plastic control knobs for ovens for some company that wasn't even Panasonic. Mm-hmm. You know, we'd make, you know, metal bearings for an auto company. We had these dies that they would send us, and we'd throw them in and run the parts and send them on, you know. And it was, and the reason the factory did that is it was extra money in their pocket. So, you know, I'm sure it might happen. I'm not saying it does, but I'm sure it might happen somewhere. I know. Well, I'm just going to ramble on there, but let's get on to Play With This 2. I'm going to let somebody who knows everything there is to know about Play With This 2. I'm going to hand it off to him and let him tell us some stuff. And I'm going to throw up a picture here. Which one do you want me to go with first, Rick?
The one in me in the red outfit. With the
you in the red outfit.
The see-through top.
No, not those pictures. Not the ones that you sent to Jim.
Of course. What was I thinking?
Not the ones that you sent to Jim.
Hey, no. you weren't supposed to reveal those yet. I was going to get those made into posters.
Well, that'll be our, I guess the cat's out of the bag. That was going to be our TFCon exclusive. You know, me, a print of me. Okay, so Boneyard.
Okay.
Some of you might remember earlier this year, Play With This 2, we did a Kickstarter, which came very close to being funded. We got $70,000 of the $80,000 that we were looking for to get funded. So we've decided to kind of laser focus in, and we got a lot of feedback from that first Kickstarter saying everybody wants that Boneyard and that Jetstrike figure. So we thought, all right, well, let's double down and let's give them both those figures, and we'll make the Kickstarter all about that. So later this year, we're going to launch a second Kickstarter, and it's just going to focus on the Boneyard scene here and the Jetstrike, which we're having printed next week. So that prototype will be coming soon. And the Kickstarter will be focused on nothing but those and just getting those guys funded. We're not going to worry about stretch goals. We're not going to worry about doing like T-shirts or too many art prints on the side. We're just worried about getting the funding for these two figures. And the figures will probably be available in at least three colors each, maybe four. For Boneyard, we've shown art for a character called Wastelander, which is like a brown deserty colored Velociraptor inspired deco. And we've also shown another character based off Boneyard called Rectifier, which is a kind of like a broken reflection version of you like that, huh? Of Boneyard. So we've redesigned the figures. They share more parts across them, so we can bring the tooling cost down. We're hoping to bring the price overall down. And they're going to come with extra heads. They're going to come with a human head, a robot head. Boneyard has a shield that's the Triceratops shield that also doubles as another head for that character. So we're changing them up.
Right here.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's him.
And I'm holding him very gently because this is a 3D prototype, people. So
yeah, that was printed on a Straxis machine.
Lord Straxis.
So, now that you have that in hand, what do you think overall about the size of that thing?
Do you think
that's going to fit well with, like, say, your Generations figures or your He-Man Classics figures on a shelf?
Honestly, me personally, that's why that one picture I just showed there with Masterpiece Grimlock, I would actually stand him next to those. Because, I mean, the size is, like, right there. Got the... there we go.
That's the robot or battle helmet head.
I wanted to take a picture with him on there, but the head thing is kind of stuck up in the humanoid head, and I didn't want to pull on it too hard and possibly break it.
Yeah, you can just place that robot head on top. He'll sit on top of the body. That's our first draft prototype of Boneyard. So we'll probably make some adjustments to it. I know we're going to add some more detail to that armored robot head. We're going to shrink down the head a little bit. Those horns are actually 5 millimeters as well.
Yeah.
So you can pop those horns off and put in a 5 millimeter weapon into that Triceratops head.
This thing here is just, I mean... I know I was talking to Chad, and Chad, I don't know if you considered this, but had you considered selling things like this separately? Because he wants this specifically for something that he wants to display it on.
It's possible that we'll make some of the weapons that come with Boneyard and Jetstrike available like in a customizer's pack where they're all white or they're all gray and let people paint them or maybe do like a glow in the dark set. I'm a big fan of glow in the dark.
Yeah. So here's one of the hands, one of the open hands.
Boneyard comes with three sets of hands. Comes with his closed fist, open hands, like a C grip. And then he comes with like clawed hands that have these huge claws that come off the side of them, which in fact have 5 millimeter ports on them as well.
Now, one thing now that I've had this in hand, and I'll reshare this first picture here that I shared. Give me a moment here. One thing that I've noticed since I've had this in hand is that the detail is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, just the ridges on the Triceratops shield here, the detail on the armor, it's just absolutely beautiful detail, absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, thank you.
I think that's what you would call a labor of love.
Yes.
Yeah, this really is something that's very close to everyone who's working on it. We're keeping our team smaller this time, basically just a group. We've just kind of trimmed it down to like. Four individuals, Trent, Troop, Albie Lim, and Pierre Grazer from the land of Germany. Albie redesigned the figure. Pierre did this on his computer. Give him a lot of credit for doing this. He did this every day. He worked on this like every day after work, after working a full-time job at an architectural firm. And he also did the Jetstrike. So the same sculptor worked on these. They share a lot of parts between them. which hopefully will add into the interchangeability for people who care to make customs. And there it is. There's Boneyard.
Hey, Rick, do you think with y'all redesigning the Kickstarter and looking at just a figure and a few accessories, do you think a figure-by-figure basis is going to be the way you're looking at production now? So that way it's more of a controlled entity?
Well, this Kickstarter is just focusing on those two figures, and we need to make a certain amount of those figures. And I don't think we can sell XYZ amount of just those figures. So that's why we're going to add all the redecos on. We're going to run those figures, but we have options of doing it in this color, in this color, in this color. And we can probably throw in a convention exclusive in there or a retailer exclusive in there. But yeah, it's just focus on these two. Once these two are out the door and shipped, then we'll see what else we'll do. So this is slow release of all the figures that we showed last time.
Crawl before you can walk.
Yeah. So we're going to get these two figures out, and then we'll go back, and we definitely want to revisit Desolator and Bloodbath and get those in the pipeline as well. So I would say those would probably be the next two guys that we would be looking to do.
Well, since you mentioned him, I'm going to pull him up here. Let's see here. I think I like the one with the up shadow best, personally. This guy here, I know he's not part of this Kickstarter, but just absolutely, again, the phenomenal detail in this guy. I mean, just in the head alone. I mean, and that's why I think why I like the up, the lighting coming from below. It just shows off the detail in the face and the horns. And you get a good, idea of what the rest of the body textures are like, and it just absolutely beautiful figure. I mean, I honestly teared up a bit with this guy.
And now this is me thinking outside the box for a second, but you know who that would also collection wise work well with? If you collect Superman, because that would be an awesome alternate Doomsday.
Yeah, that could work.
I was thinking more about like the Terror Dogs, Vince Clortho and Zool from Ghostbusters.
Oh yeah, it kind of work like that too. There was an episode of G.I. Joe where they kind of had like these furry monsters out on the space station, kind of looking.
Oh my god, I remember that.
I forget what those things were. I remember the Dreadnoughts were in that episode.
But Dreadnoughts make every episode better.
Yeah, this last Kickstarter, I think we went too big, and we showed too many things, and that got people like put on the fence because what they wanted wasn't available just yet. So this time it's just these two guys, and their redecos, and that's it. That's all we're going to focus on.
Cool. You know, hearing and reading people's reactions to the previous Kickstarter. I think the number one thing that I read and heard, even mostly after it was over, but yeah, there's my cat, Massey, somebody's after you. But the number one thing I heard is that there was a lot of great stuff, but it was so ambitious that it was like you said, you was trying to walk before you could crawl, and I think it's awesome that you're regrouping and making it smaller so that you can get these awesome figures out. It might not be, you know, all at once, but you know, it's something, some good things are worth the wait. If you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. So, well, thank you. So, we're going to try and keep it small. We're keeping the team small. We're going to keep the Kickstarter very focused, and, I think this time we'll come through.
Yeah, I wish you nothing but the best. I mean, and what's great is that depending on the deco, that you have. Some of these will fit in like what we were saying, like that one right there would fit in with Transformers because of the Skullgren type deco. But yet you could redeco it and make it look like something out of Masters of the Universe, which I'm, you know, before I was a Transformer fan, I was a huge Masters fan too. And, you know, I would love to, I mean, if I had had something like that whenever I collected He-Man, or even back in the 2002 reboot of He-Man, that I would have went ballistic. I mean, that just amazing. And that's why we're talking about it here on a Transformers show, is because that it's not Transformers, but it can fit in. Just like any third party toy out there is not officially a Transformer, but many of us display them with Transformers because that's they fit right in. You know, and you know, it all depends on what your niche is. You know, like these Play With This 2 figures, many of them can cross a broad spectrum of collector. Like Jim just said, you know, I mean, a DC fan could display them with his DC collection. A Transformer fan could display them with the Transformers, and they fit in for reasons. You know, and I just think that's awesome. You're hitting so many bullet points along the way, and a lot of companies don't even do that. So I applaud you on that.
Well, thank you, and hopefully, I think we're gonna do much better with this Kickstarter. After all the feedback, people said these are the two figures that they want the most. So okay, so this is where we're going to give them. And if it doesn't work, well, we'll come up with something else later on. So maybe it'll be time to go into a different direction. But for now, we're gonna focus on Boneyard and Jetstrike.
All right. Well, like I said, I mean, I wish you guys nothing but the best. And, you know, I look forward to anything you guys put out. But speaking about third-party figures that other people have released, let's move on to the many, many, many reveals. I think this has probably been, I would say it's arguably the biggest year in releases or announcements for any third-party companies to date. I mean, I don't recall ever. It seems like the first few years, you know, you might have had two or three companies or two or three doing two or three releases. Now you have multiple companies doing like three, four, five, six. It's almost like a wave of stuff, mm-hmm. You know. And I mean, some of it's great, some of it not so great. Some of it is, you know, here's my Tell Me More face, you know. One of the things that pops out to me is the Non-F Productions, the Winnebago, I think it is Bad Breaker, I think is what they're going to call it. I'm like, that's so funny. I want to see more. And having seen the Non-F like the masterpiece Wheeljack ears and everything, the glow in the dark. Things like that are awesome. I look for a lot of great stuff from them. Any of you all have any one particular item that really jumped out to you as a favorite that you're like, I've got to have that from the show? Well, let's say Jim, we haven't heard from you yet.
As far as anything third party that I've really got to have,
what we're talking about.
I honestly have not been in the realm of third party at all for a little over a year now.
You're fired.
Not right. not that I haven't admired a lot of the stuff that's come out, because there have been some amazing products. But one thing that I had, I actually picked up at the Final Saga Con. I had the Keys Fan Club KFC
the tapes?
Yeah, the tapes, the combiners, the bird and the B-box, and was it, I can't remember their names.
Well, the G1 ones was Beastbox and Squalltall.
Well, yes. Yeah, I remember those names. Oh, and actually, those were my very, very, very first original Generation 1 Transformers as a child. I remember having walked to Kmart from my house that was a block away and picking those up in person. My dad bought those for me. And so when there was a third-party version of them, like an updated representation of them, you know, I scooped it up. But beyond that, I've not done anything other than my third party. So,
but, well, I mean, did you see anything? Have you seen anything that's been shared on the public group or anything that really stood out to you as, wow, that's really awesome? Or
I have not actually had too much of a chance to check into everything just yet to really give too fair of an assessment. But the thought of a Winnebago intrigues me. As soon as you said that, my mind immediately went to Spaceballs.
Who knows? Repaint possibility. Yes. I just saw on Twitter, Diecast asked a question, and it's about my background, apparently where my cat is sleeping right now. But he's asking about the base that my detosser is standing on. Those were released by IKEA, and they are called the Expedit. However, I believe they are no longer produced, which is unfortunate because I want to get two more detos, and I want those bases. So, yeah, they ran about $20 a piece, and they're perfect. And then you got the little sliding drawer that you can buy to put inside it, and I love them. But
well, there's always eBay.
Yeah, there might be people that have more. But Don, how about you? Your favorite announcement from
If we're talking from TFCon, probably it's going to be their new Not Monstructor / Dino King, because Dino King is one of those figures that I was at BotCon. I've looked at Orson's. I think you were there when I looked at Orson's Dino King.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the few figures I did not pick up back in the mid-90s when all that stuff was available at a relatively cheap price compared to what it goes for now, unfortunately. And I really want a Dino King, but I don't want to buy a G1 one just because that much money for something that's that big.
It's small and fragile?
Yeah, yeah. See, I have Monstructor, and I like Monstructor, and as much as I want Dino King,
Dino King doesn't have the GPS, though, that Monstructor had, though. But I think that's one of the reasons what drives his price up so high.
Are they doing both decos?
Well, I can't see why they wouldn't, but I believe the Dino King version is coming first.
Yeah, I think they stated that they're going to do both and that the Dino King will be an exclusive somewhere and the Monstructor colors will be the wide release version.
And they did say something about the Pretender shells could possibly be released as a separate purchase because offering them with the toys themselves would be cost prohibitive.
Well, you know, I mentioned this. We were discussing this elsewhere, and actually, it wouldn't be as cost prohibitive because if you did a combined set of the figure and its matching shell, let's say the figure is $79.99, or you can get the shell and the figure for $109.99 or something along those lines. I'm just saying a lot of people would probably want to go for the combo package rather than getting the pieces separate, than getting just the robot and then trying to get the shells later on.
Yeah. I could be wrong. I thought I had read somewhere that the shells and the robots would be around $60 a piece. Yeah. So you're looking at like $120 per character.
Mm.
Right. But again,
times six. You know, six robots, six shells, and then you do the same for Monstructor. So that's a big investment.
Well, for me, I would just get Dino King because, you know, I have a Monstructor. That's fine. I don't have a Dino King. And also, it's like when BTS was doing their Nova Lord, you know, by even at the price we're speaking of, this is still a better and this is a cheaper way to get a Dino King representation into your collection versus what they're running for a G1 version.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's at least everyone who wants the character represented can do it now.
Yeah. But I really like this Dino King set. I definitely want to pick it up, as well as the Monstructor. I think the robots look great, but I think it goes to show, like, when you have a shell and you put a robot inside of it, there's a lot of limitations with that. And if you look at their shells, I mean, there's no articulation. It's just two pieces that fit together. And I don't think that's a very dynamic play value. But one thing I will give them credit for is the shells also have a coin slot. So they double as piggy banks, which I think is a really cool idea.
Which is sort of ironic, wow, considering what you're spending for a third-party figure, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's...
Well, by the time you have all six Dino King shells and you fill them up with coins, you'll have enough to buy the Monstructor version.
I see. Well, you know, I'm hoping that this is not a hard exclusive to get. If it is only available one place, I hope it's available. Because I definitely would want the Dino King versus the Monstructor, but... Again, this is still because I've heard of a Monstructor going carded around $400 to $500 for all the figures still on card, which is a lot of money for a little robot.
Yeah. I remember back in the day. This is another college story. I was a sophomore in college. I got all six Dino King figures in the box, complete, $400.
Wow.
That was 1999 or 2000.
It's been a little while.
Wow. It has.
But you know, that's what I'm looking forward to the most.
What about you, Rick, aside from the Dino King?
Well, I am a huge fan of the IDW comics. I love their storylines. I've been following them since the very beginning. Not a big fan of Margaret Scott's writings in particular, or the Wayne Blade comic. But that aside, the Make Toys Rear End, which is Tailgate inspired, I think that is the coolest figure that I have seen from a third party company.
I have to say,
big crying eyes from the comics, and he's got two sets of legs to represent
the double amputee,
his blown off legs. I have the coolest thing. That he comes with a set of, like, blown-off amputated legs, and that's how he's going to go on my shelf, up against the wall of the shelf.
Oh, that's sad.
With his legs blown off. And it's also cool that he comes with accessories to turn your Cyclonus figure into a more IDW-accurate Cyclonus figure.
With the broken-off bunny ear?
Yeah, it's got the broken-off horn, it's got the sword, it's got the claws. I just don't think they haven't quite announced what Cyclonus figure it goes on. So I think, and I'm hoping it's going to be the Combiner's Wars.
Actually, it's Classics.
Okay.
It's the Classic Cyclonus.
A little deluxe one.
Yeah. Which is a flipping awesome hole, too. I love that toy.
I've troop built the hell out of that one. So that'll be great.
I have to say, with the name Rear End, that's just a misleading name for a Transformer. I mean, I would anticipate it to go from robot to you know what and back again.
Yeah. Well, okay. Here's your new buddy comedy: Rear End and Windbreaker.
Hey, there we go.
Me, if I had to pick, the number one things I'm most excited about are the two bots. I believe it was TFC's version of Hellbat and Killbison. We're getting a
Lyokaiser.
I just clapped really, 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 really quickly whenever I saw those, because whenever I saw the Hellbat with the little bat for the chest piece, and then the double cannon tank, I'm like, I literally did. I clapped and I threw my arms up in the air. I was just so happy.
I'm so glad someone finally is getting around to some Takara G1 figures. The only thing that makes me a little nervous, and I'm not trying to talk bad about anybody. Just it is TFC. And I've got Hercules. Ricky, I think you've got Hercules too. Duran, you've got him. Hercules is just.
I have Green Giant.
You got Giant, I'm sorry. Well, Duran, you've got Hercules.
Yes.
He is still an awesome figure.
I have no qualms with my Hercules. Well, I take that back. The only thing I have about my Hercules that really bugs me is on the Dr. Crank, the knot hook, mm-hmm. the little pieces that come out that where you connect
yeah.
the combiner port, basically the combiner ports. Those, I every single time I have to swing those out, I have to get like a knife or something other and reach up in there and pick yeah. it out because I just don't have the fingernails. They are yeah. really, really tight. Now, but that's a good thing. Now, that makes yeah, him, it that makes him good and solid in robot mode.
But since Hercules with Uranus and the issues they had with Uranus,
now I had Blackbird. I didn't have the whole combiner, but I had Blackbird and I thought he was amazing.
Yeah. Well, it's just I've seen a lot of people talking about some very similar QC issues. Again, I did not have them because they're aerial bots. They're not the most exciting combiner to have. They're visually the most impressive, but they're also kind of boring. So
this guy, this was TFC, right?
Yeah, that's aerial.
Yeah, this guy broke right out of the package. He's missing his little hand here. I'm missing a hand.
Oh, no.
I'm missing your hand.
Yeah.
So that's why, you know, I've got the other two Predakings, and I have them combined, and I wanted a set of Predacons loose by themselves. So, you know, figures the one that I want to have displayed on their own, this guy breaks a hand off, yeah. and it goes somewhere into the void that is my house.
Yeah, that's the only thing I'm saying on the TFC is there's been some QC issues since Hercules, and I'm hoping that with them tackling Lyokaiser now, they've decided to step up the next level to make the figure. But again, that's just me.
Well, I mean, I like I said, I never had the problems with any of the other things. My big problem with TFC's bots, like with the Uranus and even the Defensor, what are they calling him? I forget now, but their release, I don't remember. Maybe. But the thing is, their release schedule on those things were so quick. I mean,
but don't you kind of want that when you have a combiner?
Yes, but not that quick.
Just like okay, one okay.
I mean, to me, it was too fast because I just simply can't get that many that much money.
Well that's why I don't have you know, what is it, Quattron, the Computron?
Quattron, yeah.
Yeah, because it came as a set and I couldn't swing it. If they came individually, yeah, I'd be able to buy it.
But yeah, I mean I think that's my biggest thing, but that's because I have a financial limitation. You know, if you know, it's one thing to drop $150 on a single toy, you know, once, maybe twice a month. But for me to do that, if I just concentrate on one combiner, and I think that's what I'm trying to get at, is I could probably do it, but if I concentrated on one combiner, then that would severely limit my purchases of other items. Mm-hmm. And if I wanted to get, like this past week, I picked up Fans Toys Tesla, which is a fantastic. It's a phenomenal toy. But if he was part of a combiner, then buying that toy would commit me to buying another one, to another one, to another one. And that would take away from having the money to spend on other toys that I want just as much, if not more. if you follow me. I mean, I know it's I know it's an all a budget thing, but I only have so much money that I can spend on toys, and I have to decide where I want to spend that money. And I think the ultimate question comes down to, do I have the money now to start collecting this figure, and do I want to commit to this figure? For example, the Unique Toys Ordin, the not Abominus. Abominus is my favorite G1 combiner. I love Abominus. And to finally, and I love the Unique Toys versions of these guys, and I love them. However, the blot that was released first, the troll, I believe is what it was. I didn't have the money to get it, and I know I can still get him now, but there's so many of them that's out already. I don't have $300-$400 to drop on the ones that are already out. And by the time I do have the money, you know, they won't be available. So it's just a whole timing slash money thing. Maybe I'm, you know, I'm just not allocating right, but that's just, that's my big gripe. But I do want to get to a question here. There was a prototype that was shown. Brian Brink asked about it on YouTube a few moments ago. Jaegertron, sharing it here now, was able to handle the prototype, and I probably will be getting this in my light box here in the next few weeks. But Jaegertron, these prototypes will be at TF Expo in a few weeks to look at. So if you're coming to TF Expo, I know Captured Prey is intending to bring some of these protos there to show off and let people get an early look at some of these great figures. But Jaegertron is intended to be a Cybertronian version of Lockdown. A lot of people saying they're not seeing it, but his alternate mode is not a car, but it's a jet. But if you think about a lot of the Cybertronian modes, kind of it was either a hover car or a futuristic truck or car, maybe not necessarily had wheels. In Generation 1, on the cartoon, Wheeljack and Bumblebee were like little spaceships. They didn't have wheels. Mm-hmm. You know, so that, you know, it kind of lends to that kind of mindset. And if you look at it here, the shoulders, the head sculpt is kind of reminiscent of Lockdown, especially the thing. And also the name Jaegertron, if you're familiar with German at all, Jaeger is German for hunter, and what was Lockdown. So
right. You know, Deco goes a long way. So, yeah. You know, we're seeing a multicolored test shot.
Yeah.
Probably not the best way to release the first images of this character, but
no. The reason that it's a funny story. The reason is that Orson, the owner of Captured Prey, he actually has an affinity for the what's laying around test shots, the colors that are available. So he specifically asked for this one because he likes the can of jelly beans colors.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and of course, that could be your G2 Lockdown as well. So, I mean,
yeah. But yeah, I believe, hopefully that answered your question. Let me reread it here. Is that Jaegertron from Mastermind Creations really meant to be an homage to Lockdown? The body does indeed look to be for Cyclonus, especially with the sword he comes with. It looks to be a reference to Cyclonus from IDW. I'm interested to see how this figure plays out. I, you know, it might be one of those that could be retooled into a version of Cyclonus. I mean, it's because you know that these companies don't make these molds with the intention of using them only one time. So it's highly possible. His body type, for example, the Commodus, the not Tarn, from Mastermind Creations that was shown earlier this week on the TFYLP Facebook group, Twitter, and Instagram. That figure is actually just a retool and redeco of their version of Impactor.
I am waiting to get that.
Yeah.
it's been way overdue to have a very, very good impactor.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did buy the retool of the Fall Cybertron Bruticus Onslaught as an impactor, and I was happy to have it, but at the same time, I would look at him, and he just didn't have the telltale signs for me. The head mold didn't look like impactor. He didn't have the spike arm. He didn't have the shoulder cannon. I'm like, he's just impactor in name only to me. So that's why I got rid of him. I mean, he wasn't a true impactor to me.
It just didn't make that impact with you.
Thanks.
Huh?
I worked on that one.
I'm sorry.
No, but listen, that I absolutely.
I'm being honest.
I mean, that was the best. You know, there are limitations, and that was the best that could be done at that time. So, you know, I absolutely agree. I was just happy at the time to get those characters out there.
I love the fact that it was a team of the Wreckers. And that they formed together, was it Zaron? Emirate Zaron?
Ruination.
Or was it Ruination? But the head was looked like Zaron. Was that correct?
Yeah.
Combiner head. I did appreciate that. And I didn't mean to step on your toes or anything, but I'm just being honest about it.
I just worked a little bit on it. Andrew Franks, who's at Boss Fight, did most of it. Him and I had a lot of fights over colors on that set. But yeah, I mean, at the time that was really, I was excited because that character hadn't come out before. And that was another instance where I had a fight for the name. Like, that's his name. You can't really change it. I mean, that's a name from the lore. And that was another battle I had to wage there. It's good to see that, someone is producing something that I can put on my shelf and say, that is the guy from the comics.
Yeah, I mean, I really, it's not that the appreciation for the character wasn't there, but for me, I'll buy a toy and if I want the character, but whether or not I like it at first, I'm one of those type of people that I'll warm up to some figures. I'll buy and hopefully I'll warm up to them. I'll learn how to talk eventually here, people. I'll warm up to a figure.
You can't English today.
Yeah, I'll warm up to a figure, but that one, like I said, it was good, but it just didn't meet my expectations overall. And you know, I appreciate that
from the comics.
Exactly. And whenever you're talking now, some of them like the twin twist, I'm like, hey, that's actually a good mold, a good use of that mold. But others, you know, just Quirrell was actually good. But I go on. The other third parties that. Third party announcements at the show. Don, you got any others that really leap out to you?
I'm trying. There's so much that came out. Just off the top of my head, things that caught my attention: the silhouettes for the new, not Darkwind and Dreadwing, the Power Masters, a new Ironhide and Ratchet from a new third party company.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much came out. I'm still actually going through all the stuff that came out, trying to sort through who's doing what. Because I mentioned this to some of my friends. Between the three of us, we all were into the third party. I bought more than them, but we all had an interest in it. We could keep track of who was making what. We can't do that anymore. It's too many splinter companies. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm just saying the technology is getting cheaper for more companies do this, but it's hard to keep up with who's doing what. If you thought all the bots were bad, you know, it's only going to get sort of worse if we have that kind of overlap. But, you know, that's what stuck out to me. I'm sure I'll think of something else, but that being a Masters fan, the new third-party Power Masters really got my attention.
Yeah, yes. You know, that not Turner up, but you know, the overlap to me is an issue. You know, you get three Predakings, all the different Devastators, and Defensors, and the Ironhides, and Ratches, and Mirage, and I kind of lose interest when I see, like, I was all set to get the third-party Masterpiece Hound, and, you know, now we kind of know that Takara's making one, and it's such an investment, I think I'm just going to hold off and get the Takara on.
Oh, yeah, and Sphinx, that's the one when you mentioned Mirage, the Sphinx.
You know, to me, the DX9 Invisible nailed Mirage for me. I look at the Sphinx, and it looks nice, but the head is – there's just something off about the head and the legs for me. But I do appreciate the goofier on the tires. I really like that.
I think out of two, that one is my favorite, and I am kind of still leaning towards getting that one. But as far as, like, the Ironhide and Mirage – or the Ironhide and Ratchet, it's like – we know those are going to be coming out from Takara. You know, I know these companies invested money into this already, but you look at it, how many units can they possibly sell knowing that there's going to be an official version coming out? Well, is it worth it at that point to go into production?
I will say, just for me, I have the iGear Ratchet and Ironhide that came out in the cheaper versions of Tote and First Aid. Although with the extra heads, I'm displaying was Ratchet and Ironhide. After seeing the Takara Ironhide, I'm hoping this thing is like an Ultra Magnus where it steadily gets better closer to release. Because as that Ironhide is now, I do not like the way that Ironhide looks overall. It's not any one thing. It's just the package as a whole doesn't look like the Ironhide we should be getting. And I hate the sound.
It looks a lot like the animation, though. And that's, we talked about it a few weeks ago, what is a masterpiece, and why should it look a certain way?
Oh, I mean, I agree. And several months ago, I went on a major, I was really upset with a lot of people about taking these early photos and saying all these terrible things about figures that we haven't gotten yet. And I'm trying not to do that. I'm hoping this figure will progress with the improvements like Ultra Magnus got from the initial showing to the release. But I'm just saying, as it is right now, as a whole, that Ironhide is just whoppy-jawed. It just does not look right.
I want it. But, now let's talk a little bit about the third-party masterpiece style stuff. For me, an exciting point was the announcement of or the showing of Andross and Eglios, the Scourge and the Cyclonus from, I believe it's X-Transbots, same people that's doing the Apollyon. Now I've already pre-ordered Andross. That thing is Scourge. I mean I weep at that sweep. See what I did there?
It's the perfect flying bar of soap.
Yes.
It's the perfect flying bar.
You guys, thoughts on those guys?
Well, I'm fine. I'm getting a picture so you can screen share it, Daron. Give me just a second.
I want them both. I think the Scourge looks unbelievable. I would love to see I don't know if the hands are articulated on that, but I'd love to.
I'm assuming they are simply because of the Target Master. Scourge looks like it comes with a version of Fracas.
Yeah, I've always loved Scourge and Cyclonus, and just to have a Scourge with those painted fingernails just hanging around with his hands open. I just love that character. And for them to be able to take that design and make an actual transformable figure out of it.
Okay, here's the
degree that they got it is very impressive.
Yeah. This is the Elegos. It does look, if you look here, there it looks like there are joints in the hands, four fingers.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the animation model for Scourge or Cyclonus. I'm sorry. And then look at what they've done for Elegos.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal.
I can't tell if the fingers are individual fingers or if it's just like one plate of fingers on a hinge.
I think it's much like the masterpiece that's out now. It looks like a solid thumb, and then you have a forefinger that is independent, and then the remaining three fingers are solid. I could be wrong. But that's what
I can see the pin, but that's about it.
Yeah, I'll be honest, Darren. I had not given these more than just a passing glance, just because I've got the KFC Tempest recently, which is a fine Cyclonus. It's just, you know, it looks nice with my Mania King. That's why I got him to go with Mania King. Mm-hmm. But after looking at these in color, wow. I love
the thing about this. This is a 3D CAD that has been colored. Yeah,
is it Mania King? I always pronounced it Mania King.
Well, I pronounced it Mania King because it's like maniacal.
Maniacal.
Yeah. I don't think there's an official pronunciation of it.
But yeah, that's what I call them. But the thing about the Cyclonus is the color purple is right, and that is the right shade of purple. Well, it's not lavender. It's not eggplant. It's some kind of weird color fusion.
Well, and I like the two-tone purple and dark purple here on the wings and on the ears to give it that distinction, you know.
Yeah.
Cyclonus is one of those characters that's that works well with the less is more.
Definitely.
And again, you're looking at a CAD model there, so
right.
You know, what is the color going to be when it comes out? And I could actually see them doing that color scheme, but also going back and reissuing it in the G1 toy dark purple color scheme.
And Rick,
with you saying that, it brings up an unfortunate example. The TF Collectors Club, I'm not doing the subscription service for this year. But the one figure I did want to pick up, if it was available at the end of the subscription service, was Serpent OR. Because the original color shown on that Scourge mold looked absolutely beautiful. But the final production colors really don't.
Missed the mark.
It made me not want that figure, unless I pick it up later on down the road at a lower price. It's just, and that's what I'm talking about as far as that's the problem is, you can go from these colors that make you want a figure that you have no attachment to, but the colors on that mold just work, versus the final production colors. It's like, oh, that's not good. And you're kind of sad, like, well, maybe, you know, you go from a definite won't to like, oh, okay. I'm hoping that doesn't happen to these.
Well, we got Andross pulled up here on the screen for those of you who are listening to the podcast and not able to see it. We've got Andross, the not Scourge, from X-Transbots pulled up here. And Rick, as you were saying, I don't see the pink fingers, but it could be just the angle that's on here. And again, this is also another 3D CAD that has been colored.
It does look like he does have the pink fingertips actually in that CAD image.
Yeah, because look at the thumb on the hand without the gun, Darren.
Okay.
As long as he has those pink fingertips, that to me is what makes a Scourge Scourge.
Yeah. Now I haven't opened my Apollyon yet, so when I open him up, that will probably help me determine if I want to get these guys or not.
Yeah.
At least to some degree.
Wait, you bought Apollyon at BotCon.
I know. I've got Kamen Rider from 4 years ago that I've not opened up. I've got a backlog.
Just a bit of one.
Yes, I have a backlog.
Just a bit of one.
I got Combiner Wars Magnus before BotCon, and I just opened him up the other night.
Oh.
Brian Brink commented on the YouTube channel, that ex-transbot Cyclonus, the Eligos, has piqued my interest in regards to the transformation. I'm thinking that it may have a faux head, as I don't see it actually becoming part of the nose cone of the spaceship. I don't know. I didn't examine it that closely, but it's possible. You know, that brings up another point that that we've talked about before, even in official Transformers. How do you feel about, like, faux heads, faux chests, faux windows on figures? I mean, is it any time that it's not okay, or is it it is okay?
I think it all depends on the figure and how much it's used and how prevalent it is. Kind of for instance, I don't know if you can see it behind me here, the Combiner, or not Combiner Wars, Generations Jetfire there, and all his back metal glory. Huh? That chest is not part of the main cockpit at all. That actually lies on his back. I could see where it could kind of come into play a little bit on the underside of the jet, maybe to like look down and see what you're shooting at down there or something, but ultimately, I don't necessarily think that it was needed, with the exception of the robot mode. And I would have preferred that it would have had a means to be better hidden in the jet mode.
Yeah. Me personally, I think that if it hides away fine in alternate mode, I'm fine with it. I mean, if it makes the robot mode look good, then there's no harm, no foul. Mm-hmm. If it hides away well. Now, MP01, yeah, I was a little bit annoyed that you had the faux truck grill that was on the front of, or on the bottom of the truck in truck mode. I mean, you just pick up the truck and, hey, there's a truck grill. Oh, wait, there's a truck grill on the front too.
Yep.
That annoyed me. I mean, I know it's just a little minor thing.
It sucks,
but
mostly when it's on Optimus. I'm more forgiving on other figures, but Optimus in particular, when it comes to the window tits and the belly grill, I hate those fake faux versions. But on any other character, I it's part of the transformation. Okay, you gotta get creative with the engineering sometimes, but I think it just generally kind of sucks when they do it on Optimus.
Yeah. Diecast says on Twitter, he said about the KFC ex-transbot stuff, he's worried about the quality, but he still can't wait to review them.
Actually, Rick, you said what I was going to say, because, you know, I don't mind, like, on some Autobot stunts, some Autobot cars, if they have a fake chest hood on the back underside where you just couldn't get the hood of the robot onto the chest any other way. But for Optimus, the windshields need to be his pec windshields. I'm not going to use the term that you used, but you know, it's
window tits.
Yeah, I just don't like them.
Considering the windows, how about we just call them pico boobs? Not you know, that he was just poking on.
My job is done.
Yes. New phrase coined on TFYLP, window tits. if you think about it in terms of MP01 with the window tits, there. If you remember, MP01 had those two screws that were perfectly placed for nipples. Yeah,
he had a couple of these.
Yeah,
but it's like I don't mind, like, say if Prime has fake windows, but they're really well hidden. I don't mind that being if that's a make or break thing to get the figure out. But I like, again, this is me being a little bit of a G1 purist, but I just like my Prime to look like Prime. From the parts that's supposed to be Prime, but that's, you know, that's just
you want to transform Prime to transform.
Exactly. You know, I don't mind. I mean, I love. See, one thing about Revenge of the Fallen, this is, I mean, not Revenge of the Fallen, but movie off from this, but I'm using Revenge of the Fallen as an example. You had so many different ways of transforming that Optimus Prime, and he still looked like the movie Prime, but you had 4, 5, 6 different ways of doing it. And I like that. I like it when you can have a varied mix of transformations, but you still get the same base truck and same base robot. That's, you know, a test.
If I could go back and get any one movie figure from any of the movies, Revenge of the Fallen Leader Class Optimus Prime would be the figure I would go back and get.
I would want to get one of the Battle Blades Optimus Prime from Hunt for the Decepticons. That Voyager.
Exactly. You know,
it was a downscaled Leader Class, essentially. I only wish they did a Voyager Jetfire to go along with it. That would have been amazing.
But, you know, that's what I like. I like seeing the variants, but they all still wound up everything being what it was supposed to be. But that's me being old and crotchety. So,
get off my loan!
Off your loan? Somebody loaning you something?
Loan. I'm from the South. I'm from the South. I have a strong accent.
Nitpicking, huh?
Yeah.
Nitpicking.
Just in case you didn't know that.
All right. I do want to talk about a little bit about these guys real quick. They are coming up soon, I believe, on Captured Prey, or else he probably wouldn't have had me photograph these for him.
Isn't that the place that has great toys, great prices, and great service?
Surely not CapturedPrey.com.
Yes, great toys, great prices, great service.
Isn't that the guys that's going to be at TFCon?
Yeah, and TF Expo. And also, don't forget Mega Toy Fan. Maximize your collection with MegaToyFan.com. They'll be at all the major Transformer conventions and toy conventions year-round. Mega Toy Fan.
So I was right. That was them. Good.
Yes. That is them. All right. Now that I've got the box out here, I'm going to share a couple photos I did. This is Sky Snake, the Fall of Cybertron, basically Fall of Cybertron Starscream. But these are legend class figures.
Ooh.
And absolutely, whenever I first pulled these out, I'm like, I didn't care for the feel of the plastic on them. They're very rubbery feeling, but I also realized that these are production samples, so the plastic quality may change. However, the more I've messed with these guys, the more I absolutely love them. They're no more complicated than your deluxe version. Like this guy here converts almost identically to the official deluxe version of this character.
I mean, it looks very similar to it.
Very, very similar. And he converts very similarly. He's got a little more articulation. For example, the ball joints in the legs, you can turn the feet here, the wrists. I mean, he's just got a little bit more articulation, I think, than the deluxe had. But overall, I mean, look at the detail. Consider what you're looking at is a Legion or Legend class figure.
This size. I mean,
he's about 3.5-4 inches tall. And the level of detail in this these guys are phenomenal. I'll share another picture of Sky Snake here, this one here just made me giddy. I had a lot of fun taking this one, and a lot of you might have seen this one on our Facebook group. But this one here gives you an idea how his scale matches up.
That's a great shot.
That works.
Thank you. It's just absolutely amazing. Little toy. And I think the absolute winner here is the paint scheme on it. It's got this like glossy, shiny paint on it, and it's like perfect. I just love it.
Well, I actually watched a video review of that figure. I'm not planning on getting them, but I wanted to see how they turned out. Because I think this was that company's first product.
It is.
And the paint under the camera lights just explode. I mean, it just the colors and the thickness of the paint, not Not that it's on too thick, but it's definitely not no cheap little paint.
At first, I thought they were hand painted, but no, they're just the official paint.
See, now that's a figure I wish I could have in deluxe size.
Yeah.
Now, do we know? Are they doing all those characters from that story?
I hope so.
They're sneakers. Yes.
I hope so. These guys. This what I've got up on the screen here is Heavy Metal, their version of Ironhide, the Fall of Cybertron Ironhide. The detail, again, this is a figure that's like 4 inches tall. Look at the detail in the face and in the guns. And wow. I mean, you just don't see this.
Yeah. You know, I think this is going to be the next niche area that a lot of people are going to go to. You know, once combiners have sort of run its course, these smaller, cheaper pocket size figures.
All right.
I think this is where a lot of people are going to be heading.
Okay. This is a Sky Snake that we saw in those photos, and this is the Legend Class Starscream. That's how small these guys are.
So it's more of a commander class, would you say?
Roughly. Yeah. But like you said, they scale well, you know, with like the Titan figure for Metroplex, scale very well with it.
And see, that's another good thing about third party is paint is not their enemy.
Yeah. This right here is how it comes packaged with the Starscream. You've got the long rifle like he had in the game, and I guess this is like a little missile pod or something. And then for Heavy Metal or Ironhide, you've got the two guns that are there. And then Starscream's got this is one thing I thought was a little odd, the tail fin for the plane that fits in that hole there on the back. It was just kind of laying in there. Again, this is a production sample, so it might not be stored.
Do the guns on Heavy Metal fit on his forearms as well?
Let me take it out and we will see right now. I believe they do, but we shall see. There are holes here. I'm assuming that they do. But since I have it here, we'll see.
You know,
indeed they do.
Sweet.
Indeed they do. As you can see right here.
That, I'm telling you, nice. There are so many War for Cybertron, Fall of Cybertron characters I want in deluxe scale. That, I think, is at the top of my list.
Yeah. Again, these are, I've stated it before, I'll state it again, these are production samples. The paint scheme is really fantastic on these. However, it does chip rather easily, so you can't manhandle these things. But, you know, if you're like most collectors, you know, you'll transform it a couple times and put it on the shelf, you know, and it looks really pretty. Again, displays really nicely with the Titan class figure like Metroplex, perfect scale. And I really didn't think I'd like these guys. I didn't care for them. I was doing it for a job. Just to take some photos of these guys. Now that I've taken pictures of them, I want them. And I really look forward to more from Shapeshift Incorporated. I'd never heard of them before, and here they are. I think they're going to be selling for around $54, I think, for the set, which is high if you think about it, but at the same time, it averages out, what, about 27 a piece?
Roughly.
There.
Consider the quality, too.
Yeah, I mean, you're getting
quality and the detail.
Quality, detail, and a lower production run than say an average.
And you're getting figures that were the one thing I love about third party stuff is, like I said, paint is not their enemy. You know, you actually get figures that have paint and detailing, and the washes some of them need. I mean, the figure looks like it's supposed to look.
Well. Here's something. A Legends class figure with posable feet. That should give you an idea of the quality that they put into this.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I at first I thought the Sky Snake had had tilt ankle tilts, but I don't think they're tilts per se as they are, like they just twist.
He's still moving, yeah. Though.
Yeah,
that's the important thing. Help in posing.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's talk some more about the.
You know what? One thing that caught my eye, Daron.
Yeah.
And I didn't bring this up earlier. I just happened to remember I had the tab open and forgot about it. It was from Dr. Wu, the replacement, not next master.
That's in my notes. I put that up in the notes.
Let me see if I can find that and pull that up.
Steal your foot under here. I'll paste.
The no. That's why I put it in.
It's already in here. Okay. I'm getting ready to share it momentarily.
I see.
This is from TFW 2005. Sharing this. Give proper credit where credit is due here. Share.
Hosted by Bruticon?
Yeah.
That vehicle mode looks absolutely great.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, so
the barrel does rotate from what I understand.
It looks like it does. And if you look at it here, it looks like this flips down the little thing flips down because there is a hinge right here.
Nice, I totally missed that.
Yeah, I looked at this earlier when I put the link in the chat, and I have to say, knowing Dr. Wu's reputation for all the add-on kits, I might have to get that just to change out my display of this guy right here. Just sort of change out the display from time to time. Because that Mixmaster does really look nice.
Now, here's the thing. That Mixmaster looks great, but it replaces a whole figure.
Right.
So what do you do with your Mixmaster? I mean, taking a whole Voyager figure out of commission with that.
He's one of the extra Constructicons that helped build Megatron. There were like 7 or 8 of them in the shot.
Here's the Devastator with him on there.
Yeah. And now, Brian's suggestion was to just take Mixmaster and throw him away. I'm sure we get another use.
I'll take any donations.
But I will say this: the only thing I'm worried about this Mixmaster, as you can see, I don't really have a problem with this Mixmaster as a Devastator combiner, as a component. The robot mode is suffered just to make it a more realistic mixer in vehicle mode because you got the drum hanging off the butt. But as a foot mode, it doesn't bother me. I love this, but if that green is the slightest shade off in final production,
it's going to ruin. Yeah.
It's going to ruin it. And I hope for Dr. Wu's sake, because I've been wanting him to do a full figure for a while now, again, because of his reputation for quality. Mm-hmm. So I really hope this turns out well for him, but this green has got to match.
Yeah. It wouldn't be so bad if it were some other combiner, but the entire set, the entire combiner is one color scheme, one set of green. So that's going to be vital.
Yeah. But you know, it's really, I honestly don't hate this Mixmaster. The foot is fine for me, the way it looks is fine. Robot mode is sacrificed for a more realistic or a more modern cement mixer. If the drum had been movable, you could have twisted it like angled across the back, like it was some kind of like weapons pod he could reach back into, you know, anything.
Or detach it.
Huh?
Or detach it.
Make it arm shields. Yeah. You know, anything other than just sticking off his back like Waspinator's butt. You know, but, you know, again, there was some sacrifices made to get this thing produced, so I understand that completely.
Am I the only one? I think I'm in the minority. I don't mind the Clubfoot Mixmaster.
Oh, no, I don't either.
I like think he's too. Fine. I think he's fine the way he is.
Mode,
he is.
I'm looking forward to to that upgrade set because it's just an eyesore for me.
It suffered in robot mode to me to make the vehicle mode more modern. That's what I don't really care for.
I want upgradable. I want the four. I want the arms, the individual robot arms, to have elbows. I want the individual pistols for each bot, and I'd like a new crane for Hook. I'm sorry, I said it in the private group, but Hook's crane pisses me off. That is just a lazy piece of. It pisses me off. It really does. Yeah. I mean, even more so.
Limitations.
It pisses me off even more so than Long Haul as a whole. I can accept Long Haul being a big chunky piece of plastic because I understand he serves a purpose. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got a lot of weight to bear and all that crap. I understand that. I can accept the way he looks, but Hook's damn crane pisses me off. It does.
Don't hold back. I mean, tell us how you really feel.
It does.
Jeff,
here's what
I've been waiting for. Okay, we saw Dr. Wu's coming out with a new Mixmaster, and I wish Dr. Wu a lot of luck. I have a lot of their products. No one's tackled Long Haul. Hmm. Now, you could do a smaller Long Haul, but it's going to have a lot of extra pieces that necessarily don't connect to the figure that, you know, are for the legs to attach to or for a lot of extra.
I could change anything on Long Haul, personally, would be in the combiner form, in the combined mode, the waist flaps, the green waist flaps, make them smaller.
Really?
Yeah, make them smaller so that you can see more of the silver shin underneath. Not too much smaller. I'm not saying, you know, shrink them down to where they're barely on there, but I would want them a little bit smaller.
Personally, I kind of want some purple thighs.
Hey, Dorn, I'm showing off the waist flaps like you were talking about.
Yeah, show us his crotch right there, yeah. I would make them maybe a half inch, maybe you know, a smaller, just to show off a little bit more of that silver underneath. Because Devastator should have silver thighs, upper thighs, to me.
And purple.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, I mean,
I've got a picture of Devastator done by Dan Khanna right up above my computer desk here. And to me, that is an iconic view of Devastator. Mm-hmm. He has silver thighs, silver and purple thighs, and it just, and also purple forearms.
Yeah. I'll be honest, maybe it's just me having grown up with it for so many years, and that really doesn't bother me with the slight liberties. Now, I'll admit, I am getting the Takara version. Now,
I've been rethinking the Takara version. I mean, I'm wondering if it's worth it.
Well, with the yen price right now, and with Toys R Us raising Toys R Us has raised the price in stores. I haven't checked online. Devastator is now $159.99.
Oh, I got him at a cheaper price then.
Yeah. So if Toys R Us is the only thing I know a friend where, you know, his closest Toys R Us is 2.5 hours, but it's also about the only thing he's got other than buying online. So for the price difference, you're better off maybe getting it from Japan and just paying the shipping if Toys R Us is your only option. But mm-hmm. I'm getting the extra set because I really want the extra paint details, and I want the weapons because I think it'll look really nice to have the individual robots pose with the weapons and have Hasbro Devastator in the background combined. But again, that's just me.
With me, it'll be a total judgment call because that Devastator is not going to be out till December. So I'm just going to wait and see where I'm at in December. I mean, that's 5 months away. So, you know, right now I'm happy with the Devastator I have. My masterpiece Devastator is still Hercules. But, you know, my Titan class Devastator, I still love it just as much. I mean, it's special in a different way, but
I have to say, as a kid, my older brother and I, during Generation 2, we actually put our efforts together, and between the two of us, we completed a G2 Devastator back when it first came out, and so I mean, yeah, I remember Devastator from the cartoons and from the animated movie, all of that and the other, But the toy is almost has always had more of that iconic look for me than the show accuracy. And the most glaring thing that is driving me up the wall is he does not have a head laser on the side of his head. To quote John Malkovich, it is a visual, therefore a visceral betrayal.
I like what you did there.
Yes. Yeah.
Let's see here. I'm trying to find...
Why is it so hard to get a freaking Devastator with a freaking laser beam on his head?
On his freaking head.
Well, see, that to me, I didn't even remember he even was supposed to have that until you said it. To me, that is not... that's not a, maybe for the toy design, yeah, mm-hmm. but for the from the animation.
No, it was that toy.
That was never really a thing, and I mean, and like I said, it is so minor. I didn't even think about that until you said it, mm-hmm. and I'm glad it's not there because it would break up the sculpt. It would break up the sculpt of the head and shoulders there.
Well, I would like it as an option anyway.
Yeah, oh, maybe a swing out, part or something.
Sure. Or even something that can attach as a scope on the side of the gun if need be, you know.
A few more things. I do want to answer another question. Brink of Prime on YouTube asked me how I did the light up effect on Titan Metroplex's chest in that picture with Sky Snake. Said that that it lights up normally, but it flashes and it's not a steady light. How I did that was a laser pointer.
Ah, nice.
Practical effect here. Another thing that I wanted to bring up that was a third-party reveal at TFCon was the Maki Toys version of Point Blank. Looks like they're hitting the Target Masters. Point Blank, ooh, crosshairs, and look like Darkwing and Dreadwind or Hydra and Buster.
I haven't seen those.
Yeah.
They were just silhouettes, but
they were silhouettes like the Power Master Brothers. Okay, all right. Like I said, I'm still playing catch up.
I'm torn right now because you know it's inevitable with the Darkwing and Dreadwind. You know it's inevitable that they'll do a Hydra and Buster version of those. Don't know which one I want more. I mean, I want the Darkwing and Dreadwind because that's what I grew up with, and I loved them as a kid. But Hydra and Buster are so pretty.
I don't
want to get both. I can't afford both, and I don't have
just
room
sell
for
that
both.
Cat.
Nah.
He's 15
cat,
years old.
The cat just sitting there looking at itself.
He's 15 years old.
Charge the cat rent. That way, it's a steady flow of income.
But you know, it's I would probably personally go with Hydra and Buster because, again, that's something I did not get a chance to pick up back when they were affordable. And I love Darkwing and Dreadwing, but I would definitely want the Hydra and Buster version first, just, again, to have that representation in my collection.
Let's get dangerous.
Put me down for both.
But yeah, I'm really excited about those. And then Point Blank. Point Blank was for the longest time up until I was an adult, was the only large Target Master I had, and I just loved his transformation. It was so intuitive back in the day, and it was one of those Generation 1 toys that even as a kid, I'm sitting there and I'm like, you know, he already has knees. Why do they have this damn bar between his calves? Why is this damn bar here? I mean, he could just be poseable. You know, it's like they could have gave him a turning head, took out that bar, and he would have been the most poseable G1 at the time. But no. But
I think we'll probably see from Dr. Wu a third-party add-on kit for the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
Just to make sure those legs don't move.
Now, will they have the toy head or will they have the cartoon head with that funny little wing on the top of his head?
I'm hoping for the cartoon head.
The wing head?
Yeah. I had Point Blank as a kid. I still have my original Point Blank complete from when I was a kid. The Target Masters are special to me. I've been hoping for a long time to see them done. We're getting a lot of the Headmasters, which is great. Yeah, it's about time someone did the Target Masters.
I still want my horrible.
I'm sure they'll come up with one eventually.
Horrible with cred. That was one of my personal favorites.
Or cancer.
Yeah. Cancer's all right. Bullhorn in the series though was pretty cool. I liked it.
Well, the problem with horrible was the with the toy for the those hinge. Of you who don't know, the hinge was it would separate and crack that. That hinge right there and break right off after if it was too old. So that's why a lot of people are looking for sealed ones.
And again, though, I am so glad that third parties in general, a lot of these companies, are finally moving to non-American G1.
Yeah, I don't know about being too old there, Dron. I think it's more a matter of if you're 11 years old and drop it on a heat vent and the bullhead part of it goes down the heat vent, never to be seen again.
Yeah, well, as far as Japanese figures that they need to tackle, I'm going to go back to Death Source. I want to see me a Death Source now.
Deaths are us.
You know, I'd love to see a Death Source as portrayed through the IDW version, but guys, the train bots,
Raiden.
Come on.
Okay, I wasn't sure if you meant Raiden or Rail Racer.
Both.
No. Well,
why not?
Raiden. I'm waiting for that.
Yeah. Sure. Well, even today, JRX still holds up as a figure, but I wouldn't mind seeing Combiner War technology used on him or, say, Road Caesar, because G1 Road Caesar is not a fun toy. I'm sorry, it's not.
He's really classic G1.
I love Road Caesar. I'm sorry. I know he's funky. He's got issues because of a design, but those brain, I love that freaking Brainmaster gimmick. That is just so
awesome. I do too, but combined.
He was my first exposure to the Brainmasters.
You two guys, form feet and legs, and I'll form the entire rest of the combiner.
Yeah.
That's basically it. Yeah. But, you know, I really am looking forward to the day when they're moving on to Japanese G1. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait for them to actually move on to the UK stuff, the Turbo Masters, the Lightformers, the Trakons, a new Thunderclash.
Rescue Force,
they can they can repaint from TFC, can repaint those members, or maybe even make a whole new different Lyokaiser based on the UK color schemes.
But no arms.
No arms. But
Here's the thing. Talking about Japanese G1 and everything like that, personally, if the third-party companies were going to tackle any Masterpiece-style toys, I would want them to do Season 3 or later or Japanese figures because, you know, get away from the Primes, the Megatrons, the Sunstreakers and stuff like that. Don't do those because I have a sneaking suspicion that eventually Tomy is going to give us the 84-85s in Masterpiece form some way down the road. I mean, if we got Bumblebee from Volkswagen, I think that was a humongous hurdle that was crossed right there.
And Wheeljack.
Yeah, and now we've got Ironhide on the way. You know, Ratchet's going to be behind that. You know, let's just get away from those guys. Give us toys that are not likely to get released. Give us the B characters, the C
Masterpiece
characters.
Masterpiece Skids.
Yeah. Give us those.
Oh,
Masterpiece Top Spin and Twin Twist.
I would buy those.
I would too.
I would too. You know, it's. You know, the second season is my favorite season of Transformers during G1. Well, I can hear Brian Hill yelling at me now for that. But
Season 3 all the way, man.
Oh, no. Season 2 had much better stories.
Carnage, you cannot beat Carnage and C-Minor.
You cannot
beat
Primitives. God Gambit. You cannot beat God Gambit.
God Gambit is pretty awesome. I do agree.
But, you know, we got Smokescreen from The Gambler, which is one of my favorite episodes. We're getting Tracks from Mate Tracks and all that. you know, I would like to see a masterpiece.
Moist. I mean, Hoist.
too much stuff to come out, and I won't live to see all of it.
I wanted Masterpiece Tracks to come with a little director's chair that said Trucks on the back.
You know, that would be a great third-party item to make whenever these come out.
I would totally buy that.
Just a little and one chair of those, they can
see. And one of the, and it comes with that director's chair that says Trucks on the back and one of those goofy-ass masks.
Yes.
Third-party people, we are giving you ideas.
Dr. Rue, make it happen.
We are giving
Render form, make it happen.
Use all that mixed master money coming in.
There you go.
Woo-hoo. All right. Let's. I think we've talked about some of the highlights here. Fans, if you're listening to the show and have third-party reveals that were unveiled at TFCon or slightly thereafter or slightly before that we haven't mentioned on this show, we'd love to hear from you. And tell us what you think was some of the highlights and some of your favorites from the third-party realm. We'd love to hear from you. You can tweet us at TFYLP. Or post it on our Facebook group, which is on Facebook, obviously. And we also have a message board forums. It's not very active, honestly. But who really joins message boards anymore? It's all about social media. So
who joins message boards?
Yes. But we have it there just in case. It's fully set up. It's a V-bulletin. If you're familiar with TFW and the way their board's set up, it's the exact same software. So,
hey. Duron, just got a tweet from Diecast. Make Toys has done an update since we're talking third party.
Really?
They have that Cyclonus set on a Cyclonus Deluxe figure. Putting it in the chat now. Thanks to Diecast for that information. So I think this is the first time we've seen the kit actually added to the figure, other than just pieces.
Interesting.
I'm trying to pull it up here. Open a new tab.
Yeah, I put it in the new.
It's not opening up. Oh, there we go. Ah, okay.
Interesting.
Here we go.
It looks pretty good.
I'm almost getting a vague animated Cyclonus vibe off of that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Just a little.
It's nice, but I'm happy with my Cyclonus.
Well, it all comes down if you like IDW or not, and I love IDW stories and their art, so this looks pretty good to me.
Superhuman Samurai Cyber Cyclonus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry. I just couldn't.
No, it's...
Actually, the sword looks drift like Servo's sword.
It's Drift Clonus. See what I'm saying? You got the shin guards and stuff. Yeah. Drift Clonus.
He got servoed.
Yes, sir. I wonder if it still transform with all the pieces attached?
It looks that way. I'm going through it now.
Well, while you're trying to determine that, we'll be wrapping her up here very soon. I do want to mention. Last week, you guys, somebody misspoke and said Rodimus Primal, and y'all ran with it. And some absolutely wonderful things have come from this. And I'm wondering if anybody else has had a chance to check this out. This comes from Albie Lim. Let's see here. I'm going to share it.
Who is one of our lead designers on Play With This Too?
I want this now.
Nice. I want it so bad I can taste it.
Here's the thing with it. As a designer, I look at this and I say it's almost there. What it needs is a furry cod piece.
Yeah.
Okay, but now you have to act yourself.
And the furry cod piece needs to be right there.
That'll be the
magical little tail on the back.
That'll be the little bushy tail.
Yeah. Okay, so basically, though, you're looking at the same thing with Mossman, the Mattel-faced, flocked or molded. Half is going to want flocked, half is going to want molded.
Yeah, I think we have to go flocked with this.
Yeah, but I can even envision the transformation scheme on this already.
And the antlers being the spoiler is just perfect.
Yeah. It would work. It would totally work.
Okay, third party people. Next year when Optimus Primal comes out and there's a big Beast Wars Resurrection.
Fold in the fist. Fold down the foreleg. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Someone please make a Rodimus Primal. Please. Yeah.
See, Albie does good work. That's why he's on my team.
Absolutely. This needs to happen. This needs to happen.
That comes in a two-pack with the Erector Beaver from the Hall of Fame tribute video.
I am with...
I'm afraid to ask what the crane would transform into.
Yeah.
The beaver tail.
The beaver tail, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm with Cyburn 2 here. He says, if there's not a Rodimus Primal... third-party figure by the end of the year, I'll be surprised. Best new character in TF history right here. He also needs to be our new official mascot, Rodimus Primal.
Oh, yeah.
Don, I think you should get that tattooed.
I have a terrible fear of needles, but you go right ahead.
Now, who was it that misspoke last year or last week? And
that was not a misspoken. That was that everything I say is because I want to say it.
Yeah.
So, no, Rodimus Primal. Yeah. So, congratulations to Albie Lim, who happens to be a friend of mine.
I'm gonna mail you
something from my collection all the way to Australia.
That's gonna cost an arm and a leg.
Well, the show will pay for
it. An antler.
Yeah, but it's a Combiner Wars figure, so of course it'll cost an arm and a leg.
Ha, ha.
I'm kidding. I don't know what Rick's pulling out of the ball. I used that joke before, and
here's the question, though. Legally, if this were produced as a toy, could it be called Rodimus Primal? Because there's no toy that's been called that.
Nope.
Yeah, most likely it could be.
I don't see why not.
Yeah.
I mean,
and even if it was called, you know, Antler Action,
Rodimus Primal.
No, maybe you know, it's a little play on where it's Rodimus Mech Primal, something like that.
Rodimus Primal. Rodimus. If fans, if you're wondering what we're talking about, and you're listening to the audio only version, just go to our Twitter feed and scroll down, or go to our Facebook group and scroll down. There's Rodimus Primal art on there, posted by Albie Lim. Absolutely phenomenal drawing. If anybody else has their envisionment of Rodimus Primal in either mode, in robot or in moose mode. It has to be a moose.
Okay, just stop.
Not an elk. It has to be a moose.
When I just think of this, Rodimus, you just said the words Rodimus in moose mode. It sounds so right now.
Yeah. What about this? Here's another one. How about Big Bear Convoy? Big Bear Convoy. Optimus as Baloo.
Then you go to the whole tailspin thing, and I would want him in a hat and a...
Well, that's where Bumblebee would be Cloud Kicker.
I could see that.
What else needs to be right here? Instead of this design right here, there needs to be a Canadian maple leaf right there. Because he's a moose.
And then we can get an optional third-party Mountie hat.
Yes.
And then his horn shoots syrup.
It's not syrup.
It shoots poutine gravy.
His horns?
Yeah. No, his gun shoots poutine gravy.
I was like, he has horns too?
Yeah. Well, his horns in moose mode shoot maple syrup or sap.
And he's incredibly polite.
Incredibly polite. He is the most polite.
This has got to be
and he also provides medical care to anybody who needs it at any time.
You know what?
He asks nothing in return.
If no other third party group picks us up, I think Play With This 2 has to in some capacity.
I vote for that.
Yes.
And but it has to transform though. It has to transform.
I don't want
to
make transformers anymore. So.
Yeah. Well, it's not a transformer.
So disassemble it and reassemble it.
No, it doesn't. It can transform, but it's not a transformer.
You know what? Let's start off with T-shirts.
Oh, you mean like Grandis? It just kind of falls over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Extend the arms and extend the legs.
And then you'd be like from Beast Wars 2 with the dead mode.
Oh, no, no. The Beast Wars Happy Meal Panther. It'll just kind of bend over.
I was thinking more of like a runabout and run amok, where you pull him back on his hooves, and then he kind of pops up and the horns go to the back.
Wow. For proof of concept, the one step Thunderhoof, you could probably repaint
Plasticon.
Just to get an idea of what it would look like in robot mode.
Yeah. Do it, Plasticon. Do it. But yeah, we totally need to get something of this made up. You know, Rodimus Primal listens to TFYLP.
Yeah. Rodimus Primal listens to TFYLP.
Well, right, you know how G1 Rodimus Prime had those circular or oval things on the side of his head that kind of look like these? Give him those, and he's always listening to an episode of TFYLP.
Ah.
There we go. Right there. Instead of having the little flanges on the side of his head, give him the oval things, just like in G1, and he gave him an arch on the top of his head. He's got a set of headphones on, and he's always listening to an episode of TFYLP. Hell, I mean, there's 161 episodes now at roughly an hour and a half, 2 hours a piece. How many hours of listening is that? I mean, that's weeks worth of listening there, people.
At least 12.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, wow. He's got his entertainment, and he's got the furry codpiece, and he's got a gun that shoots poutine gravy. So
and antlers that shoot maple syrup, sap anyway, not maple syrup, but it's not.
Maybe in moose mode he shoots maple syrup. Never mind.
That's what I'm saying. No.
Never mind. Not going there. Well, guys, I think we've had an awesome episode here. We cover a lot of ground. There's simply not enough time to cover everything that was unveiled at TFCon USA to give it a fair shake. And I'm sure as stuff comes out and as stuff becomes more new and noteworthy, we'll talk about it more on the show. And as with some third party reveals, sometimes things don't even get made. A case in point, that one Masterpiece style Soundwave that a third party showed off a few years ago, then Masterpiece Soundwave was announced, and they pretty much killed it. So, you know, just because it's announced doesn't mean that it will come out, but we have our high hopes on a lot of these items. And again, as they come out, we'll talk about them more. But I still want to hear what you guys think. If you're listening to us or watching us on YouTube, let us know, and we'll talk about it on a future episode of TFYLP. Guys, do you have any closing thoughts, Rick?
Hulk Hogan.
Man, that sucks.
Hulk Hogan.
I listened to the audio today, and I'm just in disbelief.
Hulk Hogan. At the same time, there is still a little bit of that double standard with WWE because, I mean, Vince McMahon, I don't know if you recall years ago, walked up to and called him that in front of Booker T. But, and then even further back,
what is scripted and what is not scripted.
True.
Mm. So, but that's a whole other show.
Yeah. Yeah. Don, what about you?
Final thoughts. I'm looking forward to Carrie coming out soon as being a third party. What I'm waiting for. I'm also looking forward to a lot of this is a lot of third party stuff because we saw an early hand sample of the Monstructor Dino King figure at TFCon Chicago last year. So I'm glad we're seeing all the stuff.
Incidentally, I may have one of those Dino King bots in my light box very soon.
Ooh, that would be great. That would be great.
Incidentally.
Incidentally.
Just be on the light. Just,
So a lot of good stuff coming out, and, you know, just going to have to wait and see it, because this is a lot of product from a lot of people, and we've all seen how much gets delayed and shifted and different production runs. So just stay with us, and we'll cover it as it comes out.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jim, how about you?
Final thoughts.
Nobody cares what you have to say. We'll wrap it up. Now. Go ahead.
Well, final thoughts for me actually just went in one way and out the other. I don't know. Probably just that Dr. Wu Mixmaster. I like it, but for the reason that it's different than the other Mixmaster, but the other one is good too. Kind of the way I still like Alpha Bravo and Off Road. You know.
It's like they're there, but they're not. You know.
Yeah.
Well, they're great standalone figures. I have to say that. I mean, I love them. I love them to death.
And all seven of them can build Megatron, like from the series.
That's not a continuity hiccup at all.
Oh no. You mean when Megatron built the Constructicons and then they turned around and built him?
Mm.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All seven or eight of the Constructicons.
It's called a paradox,
right?
Time travel. Maybe the good doctor can fix that too.
Wibbly wobbly timey wimey.
Yes.
The great Dr. Wu.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. All right. Well, I believe that'll wrap us up this week for another edition of TFYLP. Check out next week. Sideburn 2 and his crew will be talking with Phil Searle of TF Expo. He'll be here, and I'm not exactly sure what else they'll be talking about. We still haven't hammered that out yet, but I did talk to Phil earlier this afternoon, and he is scheduled to be on the show next week. So listen in, and we'll talk with him about TF Expo coming up next month. Well, actually, yeah, it'll be the 31st, I believe, is the next episode. So, yeah, it'll be it'll still be next month.
Yep.
By then. And also, I want to say again, on the 7th of August, we have scheduled Mr. Paul Eiding, Superman. I've talked to him on many occasions.
Spider-Man.
No, that's Dan Gilvezan.
All right. Sorry.
Yes. Paul Eiding, I love the man to death. He is fantastic. And, you know, I keep thinking back to the time when I was out with my accident, him messaging me and asking me how I'm doing. And that just, my cat is sneezing.
Hey, Duran, make sure if you can get from Orson a copy of Tesla, so he can see that perceptor.
I have Tesla, so.
Oh, you got one? I didn't know you had one yourself.
And yeah. matter of fact, Orson, a friend of ours, Raven Tina, she ordered a Tesla through Orson, and whenever he got it in, before he sent it to her, he sent it to Paul to have it autographed.
Oh, sweet.
And Paul autographed it, and she got it, and she posted on Facebook. She was just absolutely beside herself. So,
that's sweet.
Yeah. That just goes to show you how good a man Paul Eiding is. You hear him every week. If you're listening to the audio version of our podcast, you hear his voice every week opening and closing the show. Well, we've never actually had him on the show, and we're trying to rectify that, and we've been in talks with him before, but either our schedule covering news and events or his schedule just didn't coincide. Last year at TFCon USA, we were trying to have a live panel with him with him as a special guest, and it didn't work out. But we've got him slated for 2 weeks from tonight. August 7th, 2015. Check out that episode. It should be episode 163. And Perceptor himself, Grandpa Max, Paul Eyding. Well, without further ado, this is Daron Land, a.k.a. Weird Wolf, with Headmaster Don, Rick Alvarez, and Jim Black. We will see you next time on Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure.
That's a threat, not a promise.
See you guys.
Later, everybody.
Window tips.
We mean it.
This has been Transformers for Your Listening Pleasure, a presentation of TFTalk.net. We'd like to thank you for listening and ask that you please rate us on your favorite podcast outlet and share us with your friends. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at TFYLP. Email us at podcast@TFYLP.com. This is Paul Lighting, and on behalf of TFYLP, we'd like to thank you again for listening. And we hope you'll join us next time for another TFYLP.